Good morning, it's been greeting in Jesus' name. Bye, boy. Everyone, God bless you all, and thankful to gather together, see each other again, and rejoice in the Lord. Certainly the Lord is good. Would you have some prayer thoughts here? Requests for prayer. Found out yesterday afternoon, Floyd called. He said that they have an appointment for the beginning of September in Ciudad Juarez, up here at the border, Texas, for their green card appointment for Jessica. And so it got stepped up. It's going to be December now, stepped up. September. Good news. I think that's correct, what I had there. Thank the Lord for that. Okay, two of the brethren in Mexico, Brother Ishmael, Brother Ismael, Brother Daniel's youngest son, Arelio, Erica's brother, had an accident on the motorcycle. I think he had cars ahead of him. There was a little accident or something ahead of him, the way I understood it, and one behind him. And he, by himself, when he locked up the brakes, lost control because of what happened in front and fell off the road, had to get off the road instantly. So no one would hit him, and he was doing all right. He didn't get bruised up very badly, but it sounds. And praise the Lord for that. And just a day or two later, I think it was, Israel was waiting to pull out somewhere, and the guard gave him from the back end, knocked him off, crunched the back of the motorcycle. The box he has back there for luggage. Just thank the Lord. His goodness to them both. Not hurt bad. Anything else? Thank you for Welcome Sway and Jessica. Brother Raul was telling me last evening. See, Raul and Gabi are visiting the brethren at Reynosa. They flew up. Brother Eloy and Sister Guy bought them plane tickets to come up and visit them. So they're there at the border having a good time with them. But it was hard to leave Tlaxcala to come up because their granddaughter, Josue and Jessica's little girl, was just vomiting badly and would not stop. And took her to various medical, pediatrician, and the pediatrician at the hospital got checked out completely, and they just couldn't find anything. Finally, after 2 days of this, at least, the baby, right in front of the doctor, started filling her diaper. And after that, she was good. It was a very concerning. And the doctors were saying cancer, leukemia. I mean, this could be really serious. And had the mother in tears and whatnot. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. They were in prayer. The brethren were. Thank the Lord for that. Our little baby Clement here didn't want to open his eyes for 2 days. Thankfully, he's back better again with his eyes. I promise you that. The Lord is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great and tender mercies to us. Father, we look unto you as our creator and our sustainer, our healer, and protector. Lord, we ask for those who may be sick, suffering, or in danger, we ask your help, like you've always done in the beginning. We just thank you for these brothers in Mexico who took care of their motorcycle accident and the little babies that you healed. And healing of us as adults many times. praise you for that. And it is because of the kingdom that you sent Jesus to tell us about that we're gathered together this morning to show our love to one another and be encouraged on this path to glory. In Jesus' name. All right. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs. What is a proverb? Sylvester. What is a proverb? No. Clayton, you know what a proverb is? Well, here we're looking at it. Roger, tell us, you're the oldest here. Loud.
Instructions.
Yes, it includes instruction. Maybe one of you Hammonds over here.
Wisdom.
Yes. What do we usually think of when we think of a proverb? It became a proverb. It was a proverb. It's a proverb. Yes. Prophecy. It includes that. But we have these sayings, you know, wise saying. a saying that kind of rolls off your tongue, but yet just full of wisdom. Wise saying. That's about the simplest, one of the simpler explanations for what a proverb is. Okay. So we're going to start with the first proverb. Each verse here is a proverb, a wise saying. Don't forget that. Wise saying. Wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their hands. What's the two opposites here? One does what? And the other does what? Do you know what you mean?
Someone is someone that's really good, and then the other person is not
so good, so they just destroy. Destroy. Building up the temple, tearing down the temple. You know, the house in this case. And it's amazing that it directs this to the sisters, to the ladies. Because it says destroy them with their hands. Those without discernment. Apparently, he is acknowledging or telling us that it is a natural tendency for a woman who was created second, was created as a helper to Adam, would feel like tearing down what Adam built if she doesn't like the way he's building. If she says, now that looks like a sore thumb. It sticks out, and I don't like it. I'm going to tear it down. That's he's telling us that don't destroy. You know, I have to tear down a lot at work this week, tearing apart a transmission. And I just wasn't sure if I should tear this thing apart. I mean, there's about a thousand parts in it. Just many parts. And I didn't know if I should really tear it the whole way apart. But I thought, if I don't, I will probably be sorry that I didn't. Because the fluid, the oil, smelled like burnt toast. So if there's burnt toast, where did it burn? Something burned in there. Now, it could have been a torque converter, which is on the outside, which wouldn't mean you have to take everything apart. But it could be something inside. So you tear it apart, and I don't like it. I feel bad sometimes. Here the workbench just fills up with all these parts. And I'm tearing out. And it gets worse and worse. And I always like when I know I'm at the end of tearing apart, and I have started to come back together, started to build it up. And I always like that. Like that part. In this case, I'm glad I did tear down because I found the toast that was burned, some clutches. It was nasty burn. And it was good that I did. So I was like, ah, I did this for a reason. The surgery was for a reason. Do you think doctors sometimes wonder if they should tear into somebody's body? If they should open up? They should do surgery? Yes, they do. But they think they probably ought to check. But we don't like it. It's not something that I want to be in the business of tearing down. My uncle, and I may have told this story before, my uncle, the same one that said that little line of, we know he's young and likes adventure, but still, he one time got given a hammer at a wedding because he had taken part in the wedding, and they gave the fellows that took part, gave each a nice big hammer, and he was carrying it out to his car afterward. Someone said to him, now, you be careful what you go out and just tear down with that. Don't tear everything down with that. And he said, no, I'm going to build. I could just hear it. Oh, I'm going to build. Better to build. He who walks uprightly fears the Lord. But he who is crooked in his ways will be dishonored. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. You know what arrogance is? Come again. Arrogance. Wickedness, yeah, it's bad. But it's not just wickedness. Sometimes it seems pretty righteous. Arrogance is kind of proud. This sort of, it's kind of smart alecky. Arrogance. Or it can be just hard. I won't move. I'm arrogant. I'm right. Without discernment, we're always right. Oh, and this week, I'm working on a truck that has been at a bunch of different other shops, and it's not, and it just has a little problem, just a very little problem. But it bugs the owner. He hates this little problem. As soon as he starts it up, boom, just dies. And he just doesn't like that. But as soon as it's running for over a half minute, everything is fine. And so he takes it to one mechanic and another mechanic. And they all say, they all work on it a little bit and say, it's fixed. I know it. I have no doubt. It's fixed perfectly. And then he can't even get it out of their driveway to take off. He's having to restart the thing and it's bucket and shutting off. But as soon as it warms up, it's fine. Well, they're just sure they got it. Because it warmed up already and it doesn't do it anymore while they're working on it. So when we're arrogant, when we're without discernment, and not to say it before, people are all arrogant. But sometimes we're that way. We're, I know I got it. We don't question ourselves. We just say, I know it. I've seen that before. And we're all that way sometimes. That's without discernment. I better check myself. From the mouth, okay. But the lips of wise men guard themselves. Why? Where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean. But where there are abundant crops, the strength of an ox is evident. A faithful witness does not lie, but an unrighteous witness kindles lies. You will seek wisdom in the company of evil men, and you will not find it. But perception is easily found with the discerning. Okay. Sometimes people seek wisdom with evil men. You know, and I think we've all sought wisdom in the wrong place already. But what's amazing is how long some people keep seeking wisdom where there is nothing but foolishness. Just seeing if any wisdom could be squeezed out there. And they just keep on. Or maybe they argue with someone who is not wise. And just kind of like hoping to sink some wisdom. Seek a little bit of wisdom in that person when they're just foolish. They will not reason. And sometimes it takes us a long time. But then we should be more wise sometimes. All verse 7, all things are contrary to a man without discernment, but the weapons of perception are wise lips. The wisdom of astute men will know their ways, but the folly of men without discernment is in their deceit. The houses of the lawless are due for purification, but the houses of the righteous are acceptable. If the heart of a man is controlled by feelings, his heart, his soul is sorrowful. But when he rejoices, it is not mingled with arrogance. Wow. You know what being controlled by feelings is? What if someone said something about you? I know I can beat him in an arm wrestling. I know I can beat him. I only have to try. What if someone said that about you? If you're controlled by feelings, you'll go, he said that to me. We can be controlled by feelings. Or if parents are controlled by feelings, they can never discipline their children. Because, oh, the poor thing. It makes a soul sorrowful. If we're controlled by feelings. But when he rejoices, it's not mingled with arrogance. Real rejoicing. Free from all that. Verse 11. The houses of the ungodly will be destroyed, but the tents of the upright shall stand. There is a road that seems to be right with men, but the ends of it reach into the depths of Hades. Say that together, boys. Everyone. Verse 12. There is a road that seems to be right with men, but the ends of it reach into the depths of Hades. It seems right. A road, a path that seems right. Feels good. It seems like it's probably right. In fact, it's really right in some things, but still, the end of it reaches to Hades. Hades, what's that? Place of the dead. Downward. Death. Not life. That's what Hades is. Sorrow does not mingle with gladness, but in the end, this joy turns to sorrow. A bold-hearted man can be filled with his own ways, but a good man with all his thoughts. A simple man believes in every word, but an astute man comes to repentance. A wise man fears and turns away from evil, but a man without discernment persuades himself to mingle with a lawless man. Did you ever talk with someone and you can tell that they just persuaded themselves that they're not going to do what's right? Or they persuaded themselves that something is not true. You can't even reason with them because they spent a long time already persuading themselves. Be careful about that. Allow truth to persuade you rather than just persuading yourself. Or we were talking, the brother and I were talking about remembering how we used to be tempted when we were young. Tempted to do something wrong, and you know you might get a spanking, a good hard one for it, but sometimes you persuaded yourself that it was worth the risk. That even if I would get disciplined, it might be worth it. The fun of doing it might be worth it. And you persuade yourself. You know what I mean? A quick-tempered man acts with recklessness, but a man with discernment bears many things. Men without discernment will share in evil, but the astute will take hold of perception. Evil men will slip and fall in the presence of good men, and the ungodly shall serve at the gate of righteous. Friends will hate poor friends, but the friends of the rich are many. He who dishonors the poor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor is very blessed. Deceivers devise evil things, but good men devise mercy and truth. Devisers of evil things do not understand mercy and faithfulness. But mercies and faithfulness are with devisers of good things. Verse 24. To everyone who is careful, there is an abundance. But he who is pleasure-taking and slothful shall be in want. The crown of the wise is astuteness, but the pastime of the undiscerning is evil. A faithful witness will rescue a soul from evil men, but a deceitful man kindles lies. In the fear of the Lord there is hope of strength, and to his children there remains support. The command of the Lord is a fountain of life, for it causes one to turn from the snare of death. The glory of a king is in a large nation, but the destruction of a ruler is in a lack of people. A long-suffering man is strong in discernment, but the faint-hearted man is strong and without discernment. Verse 31, a man with a gentle spirit is a healer of the heart, but a sensual heart is the moth of the bones. Remember what the name Barnabas meant? The man with a gentle spirit is a healer of the heart, but a sensual heart is the moth of the bones. Does anyone remember what the name Barnabas means? The Bible says what Barnabas was, what kind of man he was.
Son of consolation.
He's just known for that. He was son of consolation. And that's one reason I thought it'd be all right to name this little boy Clement. It means a merciful man. Even though his middle name Everett means strong as a wild boar. But Clement, merciful. He who oppresses the poor provokes his maker, but he who honors him has mercy upon the poor man. In his evil, an ungodly man will be rejected, but a righteous man has confidence in his own holiness. There is wisdom in the good heart of a man, but wisdom is unknown in the heart of those without discernment. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin diminishes tribes. A wise servant is acceptable to a king, and by his own versatility, he removes dishonor. Well, hope you didn't go to sleep. I'm going to give you an assignment for the next time. There's just so many verses I would like to comment on, but I'm going to point to you all to comment. Just give us a little thing about this verse. A little thing it makes you think of. You can ask your parents too. Just a little thing. You don't have to make it long, but I'm going to give you verses. Clayton, let's start with you. You take verse in this chapter. You're going to give us a little thought. You're going to first of all say the verse to us, read it, and give us the thought that you have about it. Maybe it's a little story. Maybe it is just something that comes to your mind about it. Verse 4, Clayton. And how about you, verse 5, Peter? And you, Roger? Verse 8. And how about you, 8? No. Verse 10. No, verse 11. I'll have you do verse 11, okay? And you, did I say 9? I didn't say 9, did I? You verse 9, Sylvester. How about that? And then Mark, you give us some thoughts about, let's see here, verse 15. And Randall, verse 12. And Tyler, verse, did I say 15 already? Yeah, did not. Yes. 14. And Bill, yeah. The verse 17. And 23. You shall take 23, Arthur. And verse 24.
24 Hans, and who's next? Got the two Russell boys. Micah, why don't you take, did I say 26 yet? No, okay, let's go on to 27, and verse 28, Jaden, and you verse, let's see, we're about running out, aren't we? You two yet. Be 30, Chad, and Chet, 32. How's that? Okay. You got an assignment? Let's hear it.
Today we're supposed to tell about a time that we got punished. And I remember one time we were supposed to chop all the seed heads off of the Johnson grass. And it was a pretty big job, and we took a few days. And we took a while because there was a sprayer airplane spraying the field. And then one time my dad said that we had to finish it that day or else we'd get punished, and we didn't quite get it done, so we got spanked for it.
One time I ran the pilot jack into the extension ladder and it almost knocked it over, and I learned not to be so reckless.
One time I was jumping on a bed and I got this man for it. Now, from my dad. Now I know that he loves me, and I did a doctor.
One time I didn't get done with the dishes and got punished for it.
One time I lied to my dad that someone wasn't going to tell on me, and he couldn't believe me that I wasn't getting, that it was just lying, and later on he found out that I was lying and I got a spanking and I learned not to lie. Verse 13:26. He who spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him instructs him.
I tend to be a little unkind to my younger brother, and think he's not so great because he's younger, and I think I know more. But Daddy got after me about it, and so I learned to treat him better, and I was young too.
One time when I was little, I wasn't being very faithful with my chores and was just wasn't very diligent about it. And Dad told me, next time you forget to feed and water the animals, you're going to miss a meal. So I forgot again and I had to miss a meal.
One time we were going to go somewhere and it was a really hot day, and I thought, well, I didn't really want to water the rabbits and or take care of them because I just wanted to hurry and go. And then, so when I came home, one of the rabbits had died because it was too hot and they didn't have enough water. And then my dad got on to me, so I tried to take care of my animals better.
One time when I was about 3 or 4, maybe 5 in Mexico, I really liked Sister Patty's rice pudding. And I just, whenever she had it, I just really liked it. So one day I remember getting up, went out there into the kitchen, and she was making some stuff for breakfast, and I asked her what she was making, and she said she was making eggs. And so I remember complaining how I didn't want eggs, and I wanted rice pudding. I wanted rice pudding, and I didn't want eggs, and so I remember I got punished for it.
One time about maybe a year and a half ago, I thought one of my brothers needed correction, so I told him and got pretty hard on him, but then my parents corrected me that really I'm not in charge, and I should let them be the parents.
I've been scolded several times for making foolish decisions that maybe damage things or get people hurt, and I'm trying to learn to make better decisions.
I remember one time, a long time ago when we were living in Mexico, I think Daddy was going to go to an airport to pick somebody up, and I really wanted to go. But he said that I couldn't, so I threw a fit and was just crying, and he had to take me and spank me, and I still was crying and not calming down, so he had to do it a couple more times, and then finally I calmed down and took it.
I take care of all the kids that we have around the house, feed them every morning. I'm supposed to count them every morning to make sure that they're all there. Well, I got to where I wasn't counting them every morning, I just counting them every now and then. And when we go to work, the kids or move them, the head count don't come up right. It's my fault because I wasn't checking them. And I got in trouble a couple of times, and now I've learned to count them every day, so I know what's there.
I could come up with a lot of things. For a long time, I could probably stay here all day, but I mean, every time I'd get in trouble, I'd always kind of be a little upset about it because I got in trouble. And looking back now, I think that I'm really happy I got them. Just thinking, where would I be if I could?
One time when I was about 10, we were camping with our, it would be my mom's, my mom's aunt and her cousins. So it'd be my whatever, I don't know how they would be related to me, but we were really, I was good buddies with them. And I was just I loved camping. And actually, we weren't camping, we were just visiting for the evening, and then I was begging Mom to let me stay. And she finally let me. She said, yeah, you can stay. And I looked at my buddy, her cousin, and I just said, finally. And then Mom was like, nope, you're not staying, with that kind of an attitude. So, and I was so mortified. I was just like, man, why? Why did I mess this up? So I learned after that it's really disappointing if I have an attitude about something. The consequences are pretty strong.